All right, well, welcome to another Direct Connect. Today I'm really excited. This is, I think, the second time we've touched a little bit on the Kindness Games. I know when Chris was on last year, we talked about it post-GSX, but today we're joined also by Kathleen Ferris, a.k.a. Coach Cat, and Ricky Gargano. So super excited. We got a great group of some of my favorite people in the world here to talk about the Kindness Games and what does that mean. So I'll jump off and I'll start right with you, Coach Cat. You've been around the longest with the Kindness Games, so what is it?
Well, thanks so much for having us today. We're so excited to be here. So the Kindness Games started when everything in the world was kind of off-kiltered and there was so much dissension happening. And our founders, Lee and Tim, decided to lean in together. And I say it was a bro fest. They have a different storytelling than I do, but I say it was the two of them really leaning in to support each other in a time that there was just so much going on in the world that we couldn't control outside of our bodies. And they had a conversation about how could they support each other, given everything that was going on in their lives. And then out of that beautiful friendship that they've had for quite some time, it blossomed this ability for all of us to kind of lean in and recognize that first of all and foremost, it's our responsibility to heal ourselves. And then when we heal ourselves, we can heal our family units, our community. And then every one of those micro healing moments allows us to then go out into the world and add to this beautiful functioning society instead of recoiling, minimizing your voices, staying away from the communities who love and support you. And so they never thought it was going to be anything other than supporting themselves and then doing shout outs to individuals that came alongside them who were leaders out in the world in so many different industries, primarily started in the security, but like myself and Ricky, we're not from the security industry holistically. And so they thought, okay, we're just going to start shouting out people that came along journey with them and recognizing.
And, you know, I was afraid of how it would come across, this whole kindness thing. You know, we're very serious people in a very serious business. You know, do I want to come off coming across as like the kind guy? Turned out, yeah, I did. And it really, through the process, allowed me to open up a lot more and find and connect with parts of myself that I had kind of, you know, buried under this facade of the serious security guy, you know, to the extent that, quite frankly, I ended up doing a shout out wearing a bunny suit for Easter, you know. And if you haven't seen that one, it's awesome. Highly recommend you look it up on LinkedIn. But, you know, it was this process of going through and figuring out who are those people in my life that have really, you know, helped me along my journey, mentored me, shown care for me, etc. And how can I say thank you to them and remind them of the value that they hold in the world and the value that they had specifically for me. So, you know, that was a lot of it for me and why I finally decided to dive in and go for it. So, you know, Ricky, what are your thoughts? Because you and I met just before you started your journey.
That's right. So my story is a little bit different because when all of this was going on and the world was being turned upside down, I had just made a career pivot from almost a 22-year career in customer facing and retail in multiple facets. So I was new to security and I was trying to figure out this industry. And the one thing that resonated with me from the beginning was that I felt like we needed a heightened sense of client care and employee welfare, especially for our guards that are going out to physical sites to protect them. So much different than a lot of my friends in the security industry and beyond, I was not sheltering at home. I was considered an essential worker. So I was still out in the world every single day. There were a lot of things that I took on, and I think they sat with me unrecognized for the years of that, you know, course of COVID until I was actually introduced to the kindness games. I got to a point where I did not wear client-facing outfits or business casual. I would put on BDUs or slacks and a security polo and put my hat up because I was going into the corridors of downtown Austin and beyond where it really didn't feel safe. It didn't look safe. It didn't look like my home. But I had to be there to support my officers that were sometimes the only human beings that were in that block or in that building, protecting that property for all of these buildings and an entire city that was abandoned. So there was a lot of emotion and experiences that I had during that time that I didn't recognize how they had affected me until I was introduced to Tim and Lee and the kindness games. And that's one of the things that Lee always challenges me to do is to speak out about how my experience was different, that I didn't feel isolated. I felt very vulnerable, but I also during that time was able to tap into an innate feeling that I've always had of wanting to give back and really nurturing my servant heart and letting myself know it was going to be okay, that I was here for, you know, my team and that we were all going to get through this. And whatever I had to do was what I was going to do, even if it was a little scary sometimes.
Chris and Rick, you kind of talked about how you jumped into it, but Kat, what about you? One of the earliest adopters.
Yeah, you know, kind of what Ricky was saying about, you know, when you sit in vulnerability and you give yourself permission to really just lean in and jump in and know that you're here to serve others, no matter what's going on inside the world and outside the world. I had been on a Wild Leaders whole intentional leadership development call with our colleagues, Rob McKenna and Daniel Halleck. And then I saw on LinkedIn that Daniel Halleck had posted a shout out. And, you know, for me, in the space of feeling not connected, because, you know, during that time, I worked in a university setting with family businesses. And all of a sudden, like the rest of the world, it was pack up your stuff and go home. And we all thought it was going to be a couple weeks. And so I felt completely disconnected. And I was really trying to stay in community to be able to serve the community that I was responsible for besides serve myself. And so I had no idea what the rules were. I was like, oh, wow, this is a beautiful community, being vulnerable, being courageous, leaning in and recognizing those that had come alongside them during their kind of growth period. And I really was like, okay, what do I do? So I just made, it took me the first time though on my phone like 15 times to take my first take. And Tim, when I jumped in with him, he's like, oh, I literally had another job interview in 15 minutes. And Tim says, oh, we're going to record. I said, like right now? He said, yes, right now. Hit the record button. And, you know, again, when you're struggling between your head and your heart, it's like 3 seconds to shift from your head to your heart to be present, or it's 3 years. And so I think during that time for me, I adopted and came in because I saw that this was an opportunity for me to care for me as a human. Then I could go out and care for others in a holistic way versus my old tendency, which was to recoil, to stay at a community, even though one of my top strengths is building community around something bigger than myself. And so I felt for me, this was my calling. I felt called to serve in the space, not knowing what it was, but I really wanted to come alongside the founders and really be of service and wrap around them to make sure that we could launch out in the world, whatever that ended up looking like. At the time, it was just conversations and really just recognizing others. And so for me, I just, again, as a servant leader, I really wanted to just sit in that space and say, how can I really help them, support them, to invite others? And, you know, I have family members in the security industry, and, you know, that industry took a huge hit during that time. And, you know, I believe everybody deserves to live a full intentional life and have resources and be in community. And like Chris said, you know, people are going to say things that are maybe not kind. Well, when you learn that if you're kind to yourself, you can be kind to others, no matter what industry you're in, because at the end of the day, humans are humans. And so I felt like this was, again, my calling. Come into this community, not having the same background, it doesn't make a difference. When you care about each other and you're kind, then you can build a bigger community, which is what everyone in this that's been on this journey with us has said. I see you for you, like Lee sees us for us. He sees us, and everyone in our community sees us who we are, and then says, okay, Ricky, you need to jump in and be the best version of you. Chris, here's what I see in you. Like they love us, they see us, and they support us, and then they challenge us. Tim, Lee, all of us actually challenge each other. So, you know, we're just like one big happy family from totally different backgrounds that want to continue to be of service, and not only to, you know, serve ourselves, but really to be able to go out into the world and leave each interaction as we've served whoever that human is in that moment. So I know that's a long answer, but as you can tell, all of us came alongside just the idea of just being in this space to really serve others.
You guys all have far more altruistic. I got peer pressured. Chris told me I had to, otherwise I couldn't have any more coaching. Actually, I think it was more like just do a couple and see how it feels. Get your first five. It's kind of like the after school drug dealer special. By that third one, I was in. But I think it was kind of intimidating to take that first recording. That's absolutely. I think Chris gave me some great advice, and it was record like four or five. Do a batch. Change shirts. I didn't take that one up on a few of them, but I think that was a huge piece.
Yeah, or wear something that makes you uncomfortable, like a bunny suit or a hockey shirt. Or
I'm not nearly as cool as Chris or Mike Gibbs. Maybe in double overtime, I'll get to that. But.
Yeah, you're way cooler. Don't worry about it. We no, see no. you. We like. You know, and again, that's so you want to talk a little bit about, you know, you just kind of mentioned a little bit, but, you know, you're the host here, but you're also a participant. Do you want to talk a little bit about your own journey?
Yeah, I guess just a little bit. I'll roll into the next piece is kind of what surprised me. And I think the first part was like what got me in was I know, Kat, I think you talked to me probably close to a year before I jumped in, and kind of had a soft like, hey, you should maybe give it a consideration. I think Tim on a wild conversation, or Lee, or both of them kind of did something similar, just a soft invitation. Chris was a little more direct because we were into the coaching relationship, and said, what's stopping you? It really kind of got me thinking of, okay, what is stopping me? When I started to unpack it, it was really holding on to, I would say, like early teenage self, when being kind is the least cool thing you can do, which I will kind of as a sidebar say that I love like my kids' generation. That's not a thing. But for me, it was still holding on to that. Oh, I don't want to be too nice, because that's not a guy's guy thing, and military and security, and really going back to sixth grade, seventh grade, it's much more cool to be mean. It really isn't. And that was kind of my takeaway was, and I think it was probably the third or fourth one I did when I got my first feedback. And it was one of my friends who used to be one of my bosses, and this kind of stoic, really just said, hey, I really needed that. I don't know if I can't explain how much I needed that feedback, and to know that you cared. And then hearing that story so many times again and again in different ways. One of the things I would say, I kind of got to where I was expecting it, which was the wrong thing. But it was always nice to hear. And then also just realizing that some people aren't going to reach back out. Maybe they didn't see it. Maybe not. Maybe they did, but somebody around them might've. But it was really more of just, you're putting that kindness out. And I think that's what surprised me was, and there's a great example, I think, within our alumni community last week. One of our alumni was laid off, and I would bet she's probably expanded her network by three or four times factor in the last week, just because so many of us go, okay, I've been there. Let me see, who do I know? Who can I put you in touch with? And it's something that otherwise you see it on LinkedIn. It's like, oh, that's sad. Click, scroll past. But now there's that extra connection, and you remember like, okay, this is what this community does. And the community is more than just the alumni. It's the alumni, the friends, and Kat, you've said as well, the other people, the allies who come along. I think in a way, it's everyone that's been shouted out is now part of that community, at least a little bit. So I think that was kind of what surprised me was how that impacted everything else around me. And I can't come in and say, well, we saw an increase of X percent on business development or any of these things, you just know. And you'll have, we've had this now with a few of our, in the past, I would have considered competitors. Now I consider them teammates that work for a different company. And it's something that we can do or we don't have the bandwidth. It's like, hey, go talk to my friend over here. And it goes back and forth. And it's a much more positive GSX, ISC West when you go to these events, the in-betweens. I think I've had more fun at the last two security events than the previous 10, even the crazy ones where people were throwing huge parties. I had more fun sitting in a super divey karaoke bar that Mike reserved for us in Las Vegas, or the super divey one he found for us in Dallas last year with a bunch of friends just being goofy and reclaiming, to me, reclaiming that middle school part of me that was told, don't do that. But kind of what else did what surprised any of you all about it, or where have you seen that ripple kind of grow?
So I'm going to jump in for a second, Nick, because I did want to go back to something that Kat said about how Lee and Tim see us, because that was one of the deciding factors for me to start this journey was after having conversations with both of them. My very first conversation, I was just blown away by how I felt that they had somehow known me, or knew me, or could see me. I couldn't quite figure it out, but I knew that I was in good hands, and I knew that I needed that in my life. So I just, wanted to go back to that once more, because they are, I mean, it's a talent of theirs for sure. So I'm very grateful for that. But on your question of what surprised me, I kind of took a little bit of a different take because, like I said before, I hadn't been in security for, a ton of years. And although I still had that nervousness about putting myself out there and, what were people going to think? I am I'm a very passionate and emotional person, and I'm not scared to show that to most people that I know and that I feel comfortable with. So I took on this challenge for myself that I was going to be extremely vulnerable, that it didn't have to be just shout outs to people in the industry. It didn't have to be a professional shout out. And I really started digging deep. And there were several shout outs in my journey that I did that didn't come from a good place. It wasn't super positive. It was a person or a time or a situation in my life where I had to really take a close look at it and say, this is my chance to turn this around. What can I take from that situation or that horrible person that made me a better human being in life for those that are around me? So there were a couple of really hard shout outs that I did. Sometimes some quiet little messages in there that only the people closest to me know what I was saying. But it really gave me an opportunity to look inside and dig deep and find forgiveness for some people and some really terrible situations in my life that were holding me back and breaking me down and not allowing me to put my best self out there. And sometimes we carry what I call, shame is not ours to carry. It usually is a catalyst from someone else in our lives or a situation that was created outside of our control. It is the most useless emotion on the planet. And through the kindness games, I was able to release some of that by saying positive things about people that were absolutely not kind to me. So that was very surprising to me that I was able to do that. And then I have to share, there was one shout out that I gave that was to a client who became a mentor and now is a very close friend of mine. And he is extremely close to his daughter. And when his daughter saw the shout out to him, she was so immensely proud of her dad that she reposted it. She commented on the video. She then messaged me separately for, thanking me for recognizing her dad, that he's always worked so hard and that he never likes to take on that recognition. And she was just so grateful for the opportunity for him to be recognized in a public forum for how amazing he is to everyone around him and how hard he works. So that was a bright spot for me in my journey to know that I, you know, even made the daughter of this amazing man happy that her dad got recognition. So lots of surprises throughout the journey. I could go on and on, but I'll stop there and let Chris talk.
I mean, for me, part of it was one of the things I think that first surprised me, you know, was the response. I was going into it not expecting, you know, I didn't have a large following, anything else like that, right? But the response that I got, both from the people that I was shouting out and the number of them that would either contact me directly or would post something back on LinkedIn, you know, I had people calling me in tears saying that they had no idea how much they needed that today, how much it meant to them right now. You know, that was actually really surprising to me. And then the other part of the response where people would take the opportunity to say, yeah, that person, they helped me too. That's a really fantastic person, you know, and again, kind of piling the love on, as it were, right? So that person got it, not just from me, but from a whole community. And again, the joy in of TKG is, and the LinkedIn algorithms, right? I don't have a huge following, but other people do. And when other people would like, comment, whatever, and it's suddenly going out to their networks, right? And how it can then spider web so that, you know, you have a much larger audience that can show their appreciation of that person. And then I'd say the other thing that probably surprises me reflecting back on it is, you know, how it changed me as well, right? I'm more of an introvert. I get my power and energy from inside, not outside. And so again, for me, this was a bit of a challenge, put myself out there. You know, I mentioned one of the reasons why, but here's another reason. But the other thing that it did for me was, in my own leadership of my team, the ability to have a little more grace, a little more patience, a little bit more looking at them, not just as cogs and employees or even team members, but, you know, as people and what's going on with them and, you know, spending a little bit more time to learn about them and, you know, things like that. And it's stuff, honestly, I wish I had learned much earlier in my career, but it is definitely stuff that my last several years of my career was, you know, very handy. So, you know, I think those are kind of the two big things for me that I was surprised by.
The last several years of your first career, we're still editing. Well, we got a long ways to go.
True, so. Yeah.
This new chapter.
Well, technically, I have retired from the federal government. I am not retired from life, and I am, you know, enjoying this new chapter that I've got going right now. So,
Kat, what surprised you on it?
Yeah, I don't think we have enough time on this podcast to be able to talk about what surprised me, because there was so much that happened during this time. And, you know, going back to what, you know, Ricky said, and you said the same thing, Nick, you know, that this gave everyone an opportunity to heal from something, maybe from childhood, that was coming up in them, and it was self-sabotaging them in this absolute disruption in the world. And so for me, having felt, one learning I had was having felt marginalized most of my life. I'm almost 6 foot. I'm a Caucasian female. I recognize that. I didn't have a choice how I was born and the color of my skin and any of that. However, I was brought up in a very diverse, here in Southern California, a very diverse population. And so for me, I was used to seeing people that didn't look like me. And so for me, going through that, oh, I want to stay at the table. I want to feel seen and heard. I want to be able to share my voice and also invite others, like Chris said, invite others to share their voice. So I feel like that teenage person you said, Nick, the petulant teenager in me who wasn't seen and heard because I come from a family of military and all kinds of other backgrounds, security too. This gave me the ability to like sit in that vulnerability space and really lean in, like Ricky said, in some opportunities and times where some humans in my life were not kind, and really recognizing that people can be kind. There's a huge difference. We had a talk a couple of weeks ago here at my home around the book. There's a huge difference between being kind and being nice. Being kind is something you embody, and it shows in your body and your actions and your mind and your energy. Being nice is totally different. So we kind of unpack that. So for me, the biggest learning has been, you know, again, when we pause and have empathy and grace consistently, to your point, Chris, we can show up for others and see them regardless of what's going on in their life and be there consistently. And so that for me was, oh, others can do that for me if I allow myself to be consistently seen and heard. And so that was a really heartwarming experience for me. And then knowing, to your point, Chris, like I was shouting out with no expectation, because that's not who I am. If I have no expectation on others, then they'll show up however they show up. And then everybody feels seen and heard. And so just watching and hearing from those that I shouted out their experience, some of them felt really cool and called and cried and all the things and smiled, and some recoiled because they potentially may have been like me, brought up in an environment that qualitative feedback was not something that they knew how to embody at their heart level. So they were like, wait, I don't even know what to do with this positive thing. But if you tell me on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm a 6, I totally know that means I'm above average. So that was kind of eye-opening. Plus, there's so many people, kind of just wrapping up my comments, that were watching from the bench who reached out individually, not on LinkedIn, not in a public way, and said things like Ricky said, you know, you impacted my life in your journey and being vulnerable in this way. I'm able to own my voice. I got therapy. I'm kinder at work. I open doors now. I'm not mean, you know, I'm not that mean person at work anymore or in my life. And so whether they did it publicly or not, it's, again, every time we choose to be kind, it does have a ripple effect.
And if I could just jump in on one other thing that, you know, Kat was mentioning there, there were a lot of people that never interacted with my posts, never commented on my posts, never liked, nothing like that, but that would come up to me at other things and be like, you know, that kindness game things you're doing, that's really awesome. You know, they couldn't bring themselves to engage in a public forum, but they were out there watching and it was impacting them and helping them grow, right? So that was another thing that really surprised me, was the number of people that came up and said, wow, you know, that's pretty amazing. I'm watching your videos. I'm watching other, you know, it's got me watching other people's videos now, you know, stuff like that. So yeah, that was a pretty interesting thing for me as well.
It takes courage to lead your own life, and it takes courage to lead. So to your point, I got so many of those side conversations, you know, had those with people. And yeah, it's just heartwarming because someone else, you know, going back to what we've all said about Lee and Tim and even Kay, Kashawn and Kelsey in the beginning, you know, when they invited us in, they invited us to bring a chair, to walk in, to be in the space. We had to choose to be vulnerable and courageous and empathetic and kind and consistent and stay in this growth period for us, because then there is an impact for those in our community. So
I think one of the other pieces that I noticed just kind of in the kindness side of things is the more I posted, the more my social media algorithm gave me more positive, which kind of made me step back and think like, okay, does my brain work the same way? And I think, Ricky, you really sparked something for me that when you stop looking for reasons to be upset with somebody or things that you can help them get better at, and look at who they are and what they bring that's amazing, it's so much more easy to find that forgiveness when somebody has maybe not been their best self around you, or just realize that that's a them thing. And I think to me, that was something that I think if I would have done it earlier before I had as much exposure to Dr. McKenna and Dr. Halleck and the entire Wild community, I wouldn't have been ready for that. That would have been a, eh. So there's just a lot of healing, I think, that goes into all of this. And that's a big piece.
Well, and if I could
just say a little bit, we have two of the authors of the, oh, go ahead, Ricky. Yeah, jump in.
I was just going to say, you know, I have to accredit the entire community and beyond for my ability to be so vulnerable, because at that time in my life, I was invited in because I had lost a dream job and had to leave a team that I absolutely loved. You know, there was strife in my personal life, and it was an extremely, extremely, I don't know what the right word is. I feel like it's beyond vulnerability. I really, like, you know, Coach Kat said, I was trying to hide away and protect and be unseen and silent because I didn't feel like I could take anything else on. And when I came into the TKG family and started my journey, it was like someone took the biggest, most fuzzy, warm blanket and just wrapped it around me. And I felt so protected and loved and shielded that I knew I could accomplish anything. So, I mean, that's the kindest game family to me. And the friendships that have been made and the connections of people that have reached out that are not necessarily in the community, but like you said, supporters, it's endless. So I just wanted to mention that, I mean, we talk about how amazing this community is, but it really is empowering and uplifting. And it I feel like it almost saved me during that phase in my life. So uber grateful.
Yeah, I love how you said that, Ricky. And I know we're going to talk about the book in a minute, Nick, but going back and forth between Lee and I, speaking of the war. So I say I like millifuzzy coaching and love. So warm and fuzzy, but militant. Be straightforward and then give me a hug. So our constant meme back and forth is, I don't know if you've seen the movie Monsters, Inc., but I'm Boo and he's the monster. And every like scene where the monster's hugging Boo, that's what the kindest games was. And who Lee is for me.
I don't think I'm gonna look at either one of you the same after that. So gonna on the book, what was it like, Kat and Chris? I think that's a whole new level of vulnerability, writing a chapter of a book about this, knowing that's gonna be published in perpetuity.
Yeah, in my heart, I didn't ever think I could write. Again, we've all had different journeys, and of course I can write. And to your point, though, having it be out there in the world for others to see, it's still weird. We had our coffee and conversation here at my home, and one of my colleagues, who actually was my professor, he has a PhD, he's taught leaders for 20-something years, he said, "Will you sign my book?" I said, "What did you call me?" That's my typical reaction of being funny. And he said, I know, right? Obviously more healing to do there. But it felt really good to like sit in that space. And so I went back to, you know, what you said, Ricky, is, okay, I have this opportunity to share my voice. I have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable through this process. And I had the responsibility to work with all the alumni under our founders and make sure that everybody knew the directions and knew where to upload their Google Doc and work with the publishers. So there were so many other things. So I had to really be of service in that space. So I knew that my writing doesn't usually ever match my voice. So I worked with my writing coach. Because again, I had a different educational journey than others. Yes, I have a master's now, but because of my point in time in my life, I graduated from a continuation high school because that's what happened in my story back then. And so I knew that I was going to need some support. And Nick, he just wrote another book. Nick's are always cool. Onward. He, he came alongside me and, you know, gave me some feedback and some thoughts. And so, and then our publishers were amazing. We lost our first publisher right when we were getting ready to publish the book. And we were like, okay, this rejection is obviously a redirection for the right reason. And then we found How to Conquer, and their team was amazing from the get-go. They're like, how can we serve you? How can we come alongside you? Here's some directions. And then when we all had characters, see, I have the different problem from Chris. I'm like, you know, Rob McKenna. I go to an event and I'm looking for 200 people and I want to go, hi, I just met you and let's talk about your life. So for me, it was like, oh, I'm a character. Yay. What do I do with this? What are the steps? So anyways, I'll pause there. It was, it continues to surprise me that this opportunity for us to share our stories in that book. And Tim and Lee's purpose of the book was not to heighten them out in the world. It was to collaborate with all of us so we can then add to the fabric of the community that we created holistically.
Yeah. And so for me, it's kind of, you know, an interesting little story because I actually wrote my chapter long before I knew there would be a book. I actually was processing through my original 30 Prost journey, and I wanted to capture for myself, really, you know, what I had gone through, how I had changed, what were some of the, you know, parts of this evolution. So I literally had written it as like a note on my iPhone, sitting, you know, in the living room at my dad's house one day, you know, when I was out visiting him and I had just finished the journey. And then as we were engaging in, you know, kind of more frequent alumni activities, because again, it was still middle of COVID, everybody was still virtual and remote, and it was easier to, you know, hey, let's jump on a monthly Zoom call and, you know, everybody can be there because they got nothing else to do, right? It's unfortunately kind of untangled a little bit the tightness of the community because people are back to their own lives. And I'm, you know, I'm a little saddened by that. But, you know, it was really a bunch of us in that kind of alumni call that were like, we should write a book about this. And Lee and Tim were like, yeah, we don't think we really want to do that. That sounds hard. And there were a bunch of us in this alumni community that were like, nope, we need to get this done. And they pushed back again and they were like, well, you know what? If we're going to do this, then everybody needs to write their own chapter. Kat set up the folder, the shared folder. Within a week, you had like, you know, 10 people with chapters already posted.
We're like 4 hours of writing. We're done. Okay. Who's next?
Yep. Yep. And so really it was kind of a funny dynamic because pushing Lee and Tim in the direction of, hey, let's get this book done. And then when, you know, as Kat said, losing the first publisher and trying to find others. But hey, look, within our TKG community, we had, you know, a couple of people that had published books through How to Conquer. So again, that amazing ability of that community for relationship building and expanding beyond, you know, your own personal network leads to How to Conquer. And as Kat said, they were great. I am still a little uncomfortable with the cartoon of me, but so be it. One of the things that I really enjoyed, honestly, about having the book was giving away to people. So I ordered, you know, like 20 copies of it. And I really enjoyed, when I first got them, there were a couple of key people that I did shout outs with early in my journey that I was able to actually like schedule to be with at some different events like OSAC and things like that. And the ability to write a personal message to them in the book and hand them a copy. And then even post that on LinkedIn. So again, continuing the appreciation of that person and also, you know, promoting the book. And I think probably one of my favorites is at Thanksgiving last year, you know, I was able to give a book to each of my five brothers and sisters and my dad and stepmother. And there's a great photo of everybody sitting in a living room with a copy of their book, you know, and I wrote an individual message to each one of them when I was able to give it to them. And then I was like, how can I further expand this reach? So I bought two copies and I donated them to the local library. So maybe you can't afford to buy a copy of the book, but hey, it's in the library system now, right? And they've got one copy in circulation and the other copy in reserve in case somebody steals the first copy. So, you know, that really has been a lot of fun for me. Again, sharing this experience, sharing this story, and getting it out there.
I'll just say reading it was a whole lot of aha moments. I think every chapter was another, oh. But I guess, Ricky, I'll let you kind of jump in before I go farther down that. What was it like for you going through and reading other people's journeys?
Well, I was very excited when my book finally came. I had my pencil and my highlighter ready because that's who I am. I highlight and then I write in pencil notes, and I usually put the year because if there's a book that's inspirational to me, I have a tendency to read it over and over and over again. And I want to know how my thought process or my insights change on reading the same words because we are constantly evolving. So reading the book, I promised myself I'd start at page one and go all the way to the end, because sometimes with books like that where there's different stories, if I've met someone, maybe I want to go read their chapter first. But I, you know, had this conversation with myself that, you know, this book is probably laid out in a certain order for a reason. These stories are going to build on each other, and I need to read the book the way that it was intended to be read. So one of the first things I took away, because I was struggling through my journey and getting my videos done and out there, you know, in a consistent manner, and would be really hard on myself for that, is that it talks about in the book that there really are no rules, that you are doing 30 shout outs in 30 days. But also the biggest point to take away is that during the journey, you are also looking at being kind to yourself and giving forgiveness and giving grace. And so I took that message wholeheartedly and really took my time to read the book and to go along my journey. Some days maybe I just didn't have it in me and I didn't touch it, but other days I couldn't get enough. I do have to say that, you know, Kunle and Margot were two of the chapters that really stood out to me. And it's because I have this immense love for people that are able to use their voice in a powerful and strong way to shed a beacon of light on all of the suffering that happens in this world with human beings around, you know, mental wellness. Life is not easy. We all go through tragedy, hard times, ups and downs, and it can affect us, and it affects us all in different ways. And anytime I come across someone who is an advocate or willing to share their own personal story, I'm just so wowed by it. I find it very courageous. So that really stuck out to me. And when I travel now, especially when I go to conferences like GSX or ISC or IPSB, I have my book with me. And when I'm walking the expo floor, I have my book with me. Because there's a lot of times if I start talking about TKG, I pull the book out. And, you know, I show different pages and things like that. So it has become a maybe a little bit of a security blanket, but also a reference guide for me to be able to spread the word of who this community is and the great stories that came along in the book. So very grateful to all the contributors. It was very brave to put themselves out there like that. And I'm very thankful.
Definitely impressed with everyone who wrote. And I mean, one of the things that kind of with that, I had the aha of, oh, I wasn't the only one who felt this way. But then I had other ones where I'd read their story and like, this doesn't really resonate with how my journey went. But it just reminded me of one of the most important lessons. And I kind of say one of the, probably the biggest lesson I've learned in my lifetime is that two people can see the exact same experience, the exact same situation, but see it differently. And that's beautiful because it's a whole different, another way to learn. So I then looked at those and go, okay, this is something. And I go back through my journey and say, okay, did I miss something here? Or maybe I didn't. It was just different. And that's in and of itself is amazing. So yeah, kudos to both of you for being vulnerable enough to write into the book, and all the other co-authors as well. Phenomenal book. To me, equal parts of, oh my gosh, I'm part of an awesome community, and also humbling at the same time, which if you know me that well, you know I need both. I live on that spectrum of unbearable arrogance and imposter syndrome, and who knows what part I'm on today, but so yeah, I guess kind of the last around the horn, any advice you'd give to anybody who's maybe on the fence with the kindness games, or maybe they started and took a break and haven't got back into it. I know we've had a few of our alums who their 30 posts have taken a year or two, and that's okay too. But any advice you'd have for any of them, or even just how do you get started, or both?
You know, I think some of the stuff that we talked about that you mentioned earlier, you know, start a list. I actually took a giant note card and made numbers 1 through 30. And at first I was like, am I even going to be able to come up with 30 people? You know, again, kind of an introvert, limited interactions with people. But as I started to fill out that list, you know, it was pretty amazing, because it's like thinking of one person in interaction made me think of another, which made me think of another, which made me think of another, right? And suddenly, you know, I had 27 people on my list, and I'm like, ooh, I'm going to have more than 30, right? So I just kept listing. Two, I didn't do all of my people in order, right? I would kind of just sit there with myself each day and say, Lord, who needs this today? And then once I got a feeling of this is who I wanted to focus on, you know, Lord, help me know what to say. And, you know, that process helped me through it. Now, I know Tim and Lee are very big on one take only. Yeah, I did a bunch of takes for a bunch of mine. And part of that was, especially when I was rushing it, and I was, because I was trying to remember everything I wanted to say, my mouth would move faster than my brain, and I'd be like, But when I slowed down and really focused on who I was shouting out, why I was shouting them out, things like that, it really gave a different experience, and I was able to do more of it in one take and remember more of what I wanted to say. The other thing that, you know, Tim had recommended was, you know, put down 3 or 4 bullet points just to remind yourself of what you want to say, right, for each one. There is such a variety of how to do these. So, for instance, for me, and again, partly it was because of my profession and my agency and things like that, right, I did all of mine in, like, at least business casual dress up against a blank background. Other people do them out while they're out hiking or out for a run or while they're engaging with other people, or they always do them as a joint shout out on a recorded Zoom call or something like that. There are so many different ways to approach this, and really it is a question of finding your way, you know. And then finally, do a couple of them. Get the feel for it and then start posting, and then just keep going down your list. My list has transitioned from a note card to the to-do list on my iPhone. And I sit there and I've got them all numbered, right? And as I finish them, I check them off. But one of the things I've set it to do is not disappear after they're checked off, so I can be reminded of all the people I've done. I've gone through the entire first overtime, which means I'm now over 60 posts. And I probably have at least 30 people sitting on that list waiting to be shouted out. Some of them even from my original list. It's okay. Go as you felt you feel led and moved to go. But bottom line is, sit with it for a little bit and start moving.
I have to say that I agree with Chris, because I also started a list because I thought it would be a struggle. But as I went through the journey, I felt that some days there were certain people that were really just in my heart and top of mind, and I needed to speak to them while I felt that way. And then there were people that came into my life that were total strangers and unexpected, that they made such an impact on my day that day, that they became my shout out. I had to share that story because I think it's important for us to recognize those very small moments within our life that can be so impactful, whether it seems like it or not. I did want to say, you know, kind of from a different perspective of, you know, what are we saying to these folks that we want to come in and join TKG, but also to our alumni? How are we supporting those people that are coming in, making them feel extremely welcome from the very beginning? Because we've all spoken about that level of vulnerability and how we needed that support, whether it was on LinkedIn, a private message, a phone call, what have you. I just spoke with someone last week that is starting their journey and kind of gave some of these tidbits and said, remember, really the only rule is to be kind to yourself. Really dig deep and, you know that you can have a list to get you started and make you feel comfortable, but you don't have to follow the list. And then I also reached out to someone that I was really enjoying their journey, and then I saw that they disappeared. So just a quick message to say, hey, you know, I was loving your videos. I haven't seen anything in a while. Just, you know, wanted to make sure everything's going okay. And then jumped on a call and found out that they were struggling and they just couldn't put themselves in front of a camera anymore to do that. So hopefully we'll see that person kind of rejoin and get through to the end so that they will be alumni to a beautiful human being, so much positive energy and a smile that just lights up a room. So I would just say, you know, if you're thinking about joining or you did and then you paused, it's okay. You have a lot of us to support you. Find the person that you feel like is very similar to you and you can have that conversation and understand each other. But also find someone in the community that challenges you. We all are put here to grow and to continue to evolve. So it's okay. Just, you know, reach out, talk to people, send a quick message. You never know how it's going to come back to you and how it can make a difference.
If I can throw in one other thing before Kat goes, please, if you're starting your journey or recontinuing your journey or you're getting into this at all, make sure that you put in at the Kindness Games and hashtag the Kindness Games and hashtag TKG alumni, because that will make sure that it will get your post into the feed of this community so that we can come alongside and support you on your journey. So, you know, those are a couple of keys. Make sure that you're doing that. If you're out there watching this saying, yeah, I'd like to get into that, please make sure you do those things.
Yeah, just to add quickly to what both of you said, we're humans. We can put as much processes in place as we want. We can put 30 people, 60 people. And when you add the human element of where we go slow to go fast, quoting one of the beautiful humans in my chapter, Jenny Derrick, when we sit in our heart, other things are going to come up. So really give yourself agency to choose to make your journey your journey. And if you're unsure, unclear, if your heart's saying, I don't know what to do today, we're all here to support you and serve as guides for you. And we can't wait to see you jump in.
I'll just say real quick, my original 30 took like 47 days. Okay. I did not do 30 in 30 days. Give yourself the grace to allow for that. My first overtime, my second 30 took me a year. That's okay too, you know, but come back to it every once in a while, reflect on it, do another one, find a rhythm that works for you.
I think my first 30 took 29 days because I had two that I had to put due the same day because they're just joined at the hip. So I couldn't do one and the other, but then my second 30, I'm on 57. So I'm three away and I've been sitting there for a few months, but just kind of let it come to me now. So yeah, thanks for joining. Thanks for being courageous and vulnerable one more time. I know I'll do it again. It's all part of that leading with kindness journey. To anybody who's on the fence, I think the biggest advice, I'll just repeat what Chris told me last year. Just jump in and give it a shot. Do the post. It's not the Hunger Games. There is not just one winner. The only person you're really competing against is the person who started it. It's you. So, and I think every one of us who's gone through it would unequivocally say we've come out better for it. So,
absolutely.
Thanks for joining, everyone.
Yes, thanks for having us.
Yeah, I really appreciate this opportunity, Nick, and you know, to Archer, thanks for you know, hosting and producing this. You know, really fantastic opportunity and great time, you know, spending time with this amazing group of people.
Yes. Thank you, Chris.
Not only is Direct Connect available to listen to, you can also watch each episode on our YouTube channel. Just go to youtube.com/@ArcherU. If you're interested in who we are and what we do, you can head on over to our website at archerint.com. You can also follow us on our social media platforms, Archer International on Facebook, Archer Energy Solutions LLC on LinkedIn, and @ArcherSEC on Twitter. Thanks for listening, and check back every other week for brand new episodes of Direct Connect.